Blog Talk Radio.
Hi guys, this is Denise Bassi, Randy from All My Children.
Hey, this is Chriselle South, and you're listening to Stardust Radio.
Hi, this is Barbara Allen Woods from One Tree Hill, and you're listening to Stardust Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome back for another edition of Stardust Radio on the Blog Talk Network. Today is June 22nd, 2009. I'm your host, Joanne, and the number here is 347-945-5423, so don't be shy. Guests who are looming in the chat room, go take a minute and register so you can join in the chat with everyone else. Calendar update. June 25th, 2009, 10 p.m. Eastern Time, the incredible Judge Lynn Toler from TV's Divorce Court will be joining me, and she'll be taking calls, handing out some couples advice, marital advice, and financial advice to those who want it. So make sure you check that out and give a call. It's not usual that you get free advice from Judge Lynn Toler. You usually got to pay for that kind of stuff. So this is a unique opportunity. So make sure you take advantage of it. Tonight's guest, it's really to no one's revelation that he is more times than not cast as either the extraordinarily hot leading man that gets the girl, or the big athletic type tough guy that gets the girl. And rightfully so, because eye-catching he is. But there is so much more to him than meets the eye, and we're definitely going to find out why. Please welcome the exceedingly artistic Joe Manganiello to Stardust Radio. Hi, Joe.
Hi, how are you?
Fine, how are you?
Great, thanks. That was a great intro. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. Rightfully so. Thanks for coming to spend some time with us. Hello?
Hi, I'm here, yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought I lost you. Thanks for coming to spend some time with us.
Oh, sure. No problem.
So why don't you tell me a little bit about what made you decide to become an actor? I know that you were an avid athlete as you were growing up. So what made you turn the tables and decide that you wanted to become an actor?
Yeah, growing up I was an athlete, and at the time I was actually, I was looking into law enforcement. I was thinking about going into the FBI, and I thought I was just going to go to college and play sports, but I had a knee injury playing football, and it made me start thinking about what I wanted to do with my life, and kids around me were starting to do steroids, and it was about like, you know, I was about 16 years old, and all the kids were starting to experiment with steroids, and it was starting to get really serious, so... you know, I had to have a really serious, had to really think about it. And,
right.
At the time my high school had a TV studio, and I would write films for me and my friends to go out and film on the weekends. I'd write these, you know, martial art mafia action movies, and we'd go and film them and put on soundtracks and edit them together. And it was a blast. And I really loved it. And it was the first thing that I really got me excited to where I was waking up at 6 a.m. and going and filming all day and, you know, writing scenes into the night, and so I started to think about that as an option, and I auditioned for the high school musical my senior year, which was Oklahoma, and I got the part of Judd, and then I wound up trying out for Carnegie Mellon School of Drama, and I got in. So
wonderful.
The rest is history. Yeah.
I actually have a special hello from you from an old classmate and a very dear friend of mine here on the show, Seamus Dever.
Oh, right on.
Yeah,
cool.
And he sends his best to you. He saw that you were going to be on the show tonight, and he sent me an email and told me to send his best to you.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, I see him at the gym all the time.
Yeah, he's a nice guy, definitely nice guy. So, all right, tell me about the play. Unusual Acts of Devotion. I mean, you were described in a review as your character as being the glue, and your performance was warm, likable, and natural. So tell me about this and how you came to this.
Well, Terrence McNally, who wrote the play, he's one of the great American playwrights of all time. He's somebody that everybody who studies in acting in college reads his plays and studies his plays. So last summer, I usually get to do like one play a year, and last year I was doing Streetcar Named Desire, and I got a phone call while I was doing it to see if I wanted to do a week-long workshop of Terrence's new script, and so I said yeah, and I went off and did that, and they had already cast a Philadelphia production of the show,
mm-hmm.
and so I read it, but afterwards they. You know, they came back to me and said, you know, we wished we would have known about you before. We had no idea. We would have wanted you to do the Philadelphia run. And make a long story short, you know, 6 months later, they're doing the show here in La Jolla and gave me a call and said, hey, can you do the show here? And so
wow.
I wound up, that's how I wound up doing it.
But what was so appealing of that character to you?
Well, I think it was the most appealing thing was the chance to work with Terrence and the chance to work on great material. The great thing about plays are that they are, you know, they are workshopped and they are mulled over for most of them for years at a time. So by the time you get that script, it's, you know, it's been workshopped and worked over and refined. And especially, you know, I think that all of this starts with the writing. And if you don't have good writing, then, you know, there's not much you can do with it.
Right.
So it was a chance to work on great material and work on something that's a stretch. I mean, Terrence is... Terrence writes some controversial pieces of literature, so a chance to work on those and something that would make an audience really think and would stretch me, and then a chance, of course, to work with an amazing cast. I mean, our cast is, everybody in it has Emmys and Tonys, and
mm-hmm.
so a chance to mix it up with those guys was very appealing as well.
Right. Now, it was premiered in California. Is there a chance of it going Broadway bound, do you think?
Well, I think that's what they're figuring out right now. Yeah, a lot of, you know, we're doing the show here at the La Jolla Playhouse, which is a really, you know, one of the better playhouses in America. And
mm-hmm.
a lot of plays start from here and then wind up going to New York. And that, of course, would be the next destination for it. And I think right now they're trying to figure out where and when it's going to be going on.
Now, if that was the case, would you be able to follow along with them, or do you have projects in the work that would prevent that happening for you?
Well, we'll see. I guess, you know, it has to get, you know, they have to figure it out and then figure out the dates and whatnot, and then we can go from there. So we'll see.
Okay. Well, that'll be cool. I would like to see that, especially if it came to New York. I would definitely go see it. It seems very interesting, and the reviews are fantastic, and it just seems like, you know, a nice little twist to it.
Sure, yeah. Well, I mean, and it's a play about New Yorkers, so, you know,
yeah.
we're five people living
right.
in a Greenwich Village apartment building, so up on the roof. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, anybody who has spent any amount of time in New York will, you know, will love the play.
Love those rooftop parties.
Yeah.
Definitely. So, yeah, how did you get involved in doing your own stunts?
Well, that's really...
You do a majority of them, don't you?
Yes, but, you know, I want to make it clear that I'm not a stuntman. I mean, stuntmen
right.
are their own breed.
Right.
You know, I'm an athletic actor, so,
mm-hmm.
you know, when I get to a set, you know, obviously it's easier for everyone involved in the production if I can do a majority of the stunt work, because it's just easier to match and, you know, easier to get their shots if I'm doing it. But with that
mm-hmm.
said, I mean... You know, I also can't get killed or injured, because if I do, then, you know, obviously it throws off the whole production. So, yeah, I mean, I'm just, I don't know, fortunate or unfortunate, depending on how you look at it, that, you know, that I can do a lot of the stuff. So they do let me do a lot of it, but there are some things that are just so outrageous that, you know, I have a stuntman that I've been working with for 8 years since Spider-Man,
right.
and he steps in and does everything.
Now, do you prefer to play the romantic type guy or the badass warrior kind of guy?
Can I do both at the same time?
I mean, yeah, I can honestly see you doing both at the same time if you had to. Sure,
that'd
could.
Be ideal. Yeah, that'd be ideal. Little fighting, little, you know, and then little romance. Yeah, that'd be
I mean,
ideal.
I can see that. I guess you kind of did that on One Tree Hill. You know, you were the protector, but you were still the somewhat quirky romantic guy, you know, with Brooke, and so a little bit there.
Yeah, a little bit of both. That was fun. So yeah, obviously, you know, I think that's kind of the formula, though. I think that's what, I mean, at least it seems like that's what the fans of the show responded to in my character was that he was this, you know, tough, masculine guy, but had that, but then could have that romantic side as well. And I think that, I think that shoe fits.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so too. Now, you're obviously in amazing shape. So what do you do to keep the chiseled physique that drives so many of your fans crazy? How much do you work out? I mean, you obviously must spend like 90% of your time in the gym, or does it just come naturally to you?
Thanks. I have good genes on my mother's side. My mother is she's Austrian, German, and Armenian.
Wow.
In the Austrian German side, I mean, my mother is, I'm not going to say how old she is, but she's in phenomenal shape for her age, and she always has been in amazing shape. Like, you know, when you see, like, Madonna, like Madonna's arms, like, you know, that's what my mother's biceps were like.
Oh, my God.
My mother just had these, like, chiseled arms. And so so that helps. And, you know, as far as the gym goes, you know, it depends on the project. It depends on what I'm doing. Because obviously, you know, some projects you don't want to be, you know, Navy SEAL shape for. So, but I kind of flex between weights and boxing. I have a boxing trainer in LA. So when I need to trim down, I go to boxing. And when I'm just hanging out going to the gym, then, you know, I'm just hanging out going to the gym.
Okay. So I have a question from the chat room from Rach29. She wants to know if you will be in any episodes in season 7 of One Tree Hill.
I can't say anything about that yet. All I can say is that I've had several talks with the show creator, Mark Schwann, about where my character would go next. And, of course, it was never specified as to when that would happen. But I can say that I have had talks with him about it. It's just a question as to when that would be.
Okay. Now, what I have to commend you on, honestly, you're a busy guy. You're working, traveling. You're always doing something. But I really appreciate you and how you stay so in tune with your fans. You always manage to keep everyone updated at all times via Facebook or Twitter or MySpace. That's like devotion beyond words to the people who enjoy watching your films and plays and performances, etc. And there are not many actors or actresses that would even take the time to do what you do. Why do you do it?
I'd be nothing without my fans. They're the whole reason why I'm doing this and why I can continue to do this. That's just me saying thank you to them. You know, I mean, I could perform plays in my living room and write little stupid movies for me and my friends, you know, and go out and film them still. But, you know, with the fact that I have fans and fans that do pay attention and write to me and you know, call in with questions when I'm doing an interview, I mean, that's what I do it for. So, you know, why wouldn't I? You know, I also, I used to be a roadie for a rock band.
Okay.
And I traveled the world with this rock band, Goldfinger. And, you know, when bands start out, you know, they back in the day, before the internet, they used to have to get a bucket full of like a glue, like a wheat paste, like a paste. And they would have these paper flyers. And they would walk up and down, you know, Sunset Boulevard or Santa Monica Boulevard in L.A. and glue these flyers to all the telephone poles to try to get people to go to their you know, their shows. And there were bands like, you know, Motley Crue and Guns N' Roses and Black Flag and, you know, these huge bands. And that's, you know, that's kind of how they started out. And now that the internet is available, you know, there's fans all over the world. I mean, I know where my shows and movies are playing all over the world because of the fan letters that I get. I know when, you know, One Tree Hill is playing in Madagascar. And I know when Behind Enemy Lines Colombia is released in the United Arab Emirates. You know, it's kind of amazing. And so to be able to keep in touch with fans all over the world, you know, it's fun. And I do spend a lot of time on the road. So, you know, usually it's just me in a hotel room with my laptop. So
So it makes it a little bit easier. It's convenient, so to speak, you know. And I just think it's a great thing because there's a lot of people of your caliber of acting that really just don't pay attention at all, you know, and kind of
forget.
A lot
of them are afraid of it. The ones that I talk to are afraid.
Really?
And I had a MySpace page and I had a Facebook page before I, kind of wound up, before I wound up getting a lot of fans. And,
right.
And I just kept them open and kept monitoring them. And, people mm-hmm. are really polite. I mean, once a year I'll get someone that's really, really rude.
Right.
But other than that, people are really friendly, and most of the responses I get are just really positive, and, it's a lot of fun.
What's the craziest thing a fan ever did to get your attention?
Oh, crazy. Well, I had to file 2 stalking reports with the police.
Really? Wow.
Yeah. They were guys. Yeah. No, I was at the police station filing this report, and the police officer is like trying to figure out, who these guys are, and I think he kind of like I don't know what he was trying to. Figure out whatever he was trying to figure out, but I kind of looked at him and went, shrugged my shoulders and said, it's never a hot chick, and he just kind of stared at me. But so I don't know if a hot chick, a hot chick stalker probably would be better. But anyway, so I've had two crazy stalkers that one would call and leave these really weird poems on my phone, and just strange. Another one would send these creepy pictures to my house, and so I filed reports with the police, and police action was taken. So,
Those
are probably the craziest examples.
Right.
Going on.
That's sick. Okay, that's a little creepy. That classifies as creepy to me. What are your guilty pleasures? I mean, you have to obviously stay fit. Give me something juicy. You got to have a guilty pleasure.
Guilty pleasures. let's see. Well, lately, I don't know if it's I'm not overly feel guilty about it, but I'm obsessed with that TV show True Blood.
Oh my God, so am I. Oh my God, so am I.
I love that show. That's not necessarily guilty, I don't think.
No.
I used to watch Survivor a lot, and I guess that would probably be something.
Yeah, because that's something that sometimes you got to suffer through to watch.
Whenever Blind Date is on, I'm glued to the TV. So probably Blind Date.
Oh, I used to watch that. It comes on like late at night, doesn't it?
Yeah,
I used to watch
that
a lot.
Show. Like when the people go on dates, especially the ones that take place in New York and New Jersey.
Yeah, yeah.
They're amazing. It's like it's always some dude on top of a table with the shirt off and like puka shells and like some girl with her boobs hanging out. Yeah, it's like I love Blind Date.
What is your take on reality TV? I mean, it seems like reality TV is really taking over television for the most part. Between The Bachelorette, between these stupid Heidi Spidey things, and I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here, and all these ridiculous shows that are, like cluttering the television and taking away, what used to be really good television, from sitcoms to dramas. And it seems to me like Law and Order is probably the only shows that have survived reality TV for the most part. They're like the longest running shows on television now.
Yeah, I mean, obviously as an actor and someone who, obviously as a trained actor,
right.
It bums me out. But I think, I can't really argue with it because, the market always finds its own level. So,
mm-hmm.
If people obviously want to see it, and it's obviously providing a service to people. I think that a lot of reality shows these days, I mean, it just seems like there are a lot of, out-of-work actors who are trying to get work
right.
some way.
Yeah, somehow they're getting paid for what they're doing. I mean, but don't you think like it's just a cheaper way for the networks to keep something on the air? I mean, it obviously is probably cheaper and, more cost effective for them to do the reality shows than to hire a bunch of season trained actors, to do something really, really good that's going to last a long time.
Yeah, and the thing about it is that, you never know to what level the producers are meddling. So
mm-hmm.
you really, they call it reality, but I mean, really what that means is like, I mean, to me, it's just untrained actors. I mean, it's
mm-hmm.
kind of what reality means. So you have these people in there, and, you know, you have these shows like, I don't know what, The Hills or something, you know, where, oh, I'm going to break up with someone. Okay, well, don't break up with them until we get the cameras, and this is what you're going to say, and this is how they're, you know what I mean? So it's all being coached and you know, under the illusion that it is reality, but, you know, it really isn't. So I don't know. You know, I sometimes I like Survivor. I like Survivor until all the weak people start ganging up on the strong people and voting them out. That really bothers me. But until that happens, I'm usually into it. But as far as, you know, the rest of it goes, I saw a little
blurb how some fans were pushing you to be a part of True Blood.
There was a website that popped, or a few blogs and websites that popped up. I guess there's a werewolf coming up on True Blood.
Yeah.
And people were talking about me potentially playing him. So I'd love to be on that show. I mean, True Blood is one of those shows as well where, you know, everybody on it is pretty well trained. I mean, there's a couple of Juilliard graduates on the show, and you know, you get some people on there that really know what they're doing. And I love that show. I love it. I love great actors working on great material.
Yeah, it's a great show. I don't miss it. It's definitely a great show. I mean, and I can see you on that show. You would be a welcome addition to it, I think. So, you know, hey, check it out and see what happens there.
Your mouth to God's ears.
You know, I mean, look, you got enough fans out there. They know how to write. Get a writing campaign over there to HBO. I mean, I think that could happen. Flood them
That'd
with the snail mail, you know. That's the best way to do it. But I have a caller. Are you ready to take a call?
Sure.
Can I let you go? Hold on. Okay, this is Georgette, a huge One Tree Hill fan. Georgette, say hi to Joe.
Hi, Joe. How are you?
Great. How are you doing, Georgette?
Good. I talked to you on Facebook before.
Oh, great. Right on.
I just wanted to say I miss you on One Tree Hill, and I think you should be back and come back with Brooke. I'm all about Brooke and Owen.
Thanks. Yeah, I know. I miss One Tree Hill, too. And I thought both myself and Sophia, we both really thought that Brooke and Owen were going to wind up together. We even filmed scenes where we did wind up together, and then they went back and reshot them so that we would break up.
I think it's jacked up that they did that, and they led the fans to believe that they were going to hook up and whatnot because of the whole Sam thing. And then out from left field comes Julian, and he swept her off her feet, and now, like, everybody's like, doesn't even ask where what happened to Owen or whatever. He just left the canvas and sits in there.
Yeah, I know.
Angry.
I love it. I know. It was, like, right in the course of, like, one or two episodes, it was, like, everything, you know, those whole two seasons were just kind of the chalkboard.
Well, it was after, because you didn't help her find Sam. It was during that thing. And then, like, you slept with Millie, and then whatever happened, and I'm like, oh, my God, whatever.
Right.
This is so,
yeah.
I was so mad. Then, you know what, I think you should go for Haley. Sleep with Haley. You should work with Bessie Joy Lenz and have a little action with you and James. It'd be fabulous.
Whoa. Hey, I don't know if Owen goes that way, but.
I know, you'll be breaking up a good couple, but, I mean, it'll give drama if that's what you're looking for.
There you go.
So,
yeah. So yeah, Nathan and Owen could duke it out. We could have a fight over Haley.
That'd be great.
Yeah,
so
I think that's what she meant by action, Joe.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I was not talking about Guy.
I thought you were talking about Owen being the new nanny, or maybe, or something.
No.
You know, I was like, I wasn't
no.
sure. No.
Hey, you know what? Deb's free now. You could go for her.
I could, yeah. I don't know. Well, yeah, I like the Haley thing, yeah. All right.
How do we know where to write to you at?
Where can you write to me?
Yeah. Do you have, like, a fan mail address? Is that what you were talking about earlier?
I was just talking about the, you know, the MySpaces and the Facebooks.
Oh, that's it? Okay, I was about to say, I want to know how you write, because if you can actually write a letter, I'd write a letter. I do that all the time, so... That's it. I'll write to you on Facebook then, I guess. But
and then I also have a website. It's joemanganiello.com, and on that, you know, I have a, you know, there's my agent's address, my manager's address, and those are and then I have a you know, there's my PR people's information is up there. So, I mean, if you ever want to, like, send a letter, like an actual letter, you can go to joemanganiello.com and send it to any one of my representatives, and I'll get it.
Yeah, it's
that's
in the chat
cool.
room. It's a great website. It's a really nice.
I just got off work, but I'll get it from Joanne. That's cool. But hopefully we'll see you resurface in season 7.
Yeah. I hope so.
That's what
that
I'm hoping
cool.
for. I'll be excited if that happens. And if not, you can't come between Nathan and Haley, then I'll settle for you becoming in between Julian and Brooke and then claiming back your territory and getting Brooke back. That would be fabulous.
All right. Yeah, I like it.
Okay. I'll talk to you later.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Thanks
Bye.
To our debt. One Tree Hill fans are dedicated just as much as soap opera fans are. That I know. I mean, it's like nighttime soap operas for them, and they love their characters. They're so dedicated. They write the letters. They do all that. They go visit the sets. I mean, that must have been really awesome.
Yeah, it was amazing. I really wasn't prepared for it. I had no idea what I was in store for when it happened. But, you know, it's been so great, and I've just met, like, the coolest people, the nicest people. You know, I'll never forget. I mean, you know, it really became clear to me. The morning, there was an episode last season where I was naked in the back of Brooke's car.
I saw that.
And I had to run down the street, you know, naked. And there we filmed it at like 7 in the morning, and it was freezing.
God.
And
oh.
there was a big crowd of people sitting outside of this coffee shop across the street from where we were shooting. They were all fans that had, I think a lot of them were from France, actually, and they had come down to, they found out where we were shooting, and I noticed, you know, in between takes that, you know, some of them had cameras kind of positioned so they could try to snap pictures of me as I was running down the street.
Oh, my God.
In this, like, flesh-colored Speedo. It was awesome. So, but, yeah, they really care, and they go to great lengths to show up on set and support the filming.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly how, like, they treat soap opera stars also. They go to the studios, they hang out at the sets. I had Barbara Allen Woods on the show not too long ago, and she talked about how people always came down to, you know, where you guys filmed and stuff like that and you know, to meet everybody. So that's got to be good.
Yeah, it's fun. No, it's just, it's a blast. It's really, really, really great.
So tell me, what does Jill like to do when there is no work, nothing to be filmed? What is your idea of downtime?
Downtime. I have difficulty with downtime, to be honest. I'm
really?
Really good at working all the time. I work. But when I'm not, I like, I love museums. I'm a big fan of art, just like in all of its forms. Like I said before, I was a roadie for a rock band. So, and I used to DJ and at turntables. I still have a bunch of vinyl. So.
Oh, really?
Very big on music. Yeah, I'm always big on music. A lot of my friends are musicians. My friends are in bands. My friends are tour managers. So I'm always going to some live show somewhere.
Okay.
So museums, live music. I got to go skydiving this past year a few times with the Army, and that was a blast. One of my best friends is a Navy SEAL. He's a guy who trained me for Behind Enemy Lines Columbia. We became best friends, and we go out and shoot guns. Or go to Vegas, play some blackjack. You know, there's some great hikes I know in and around L.A., like some hikes with, like, water. You hike up to waterfalls and things like that. So I like to go do that. What else do I do? Jeez, I
you
like going
to
the...
You've got to experience a lot. I mean,
that?
If you've got to experience so much. It's got to be an incredible feeling.
Yeah, I mean, I travel so much And when you travel that much, I mean, you really get to see a lot of the world and a lot of really cool things. You know, I traveled a ton this past year, and, you know, I was in Puerto Rico and West Virginia and Pittsburgh and Ojai and San Diego and New York and Philly. And, you know, I got to go to some great museums and great plays and, you know hand-rolled cigar shops Puerto Rico and, you know, the Rodin Museum in Philadelphia and then a bunch of Broadway shows in New York. So I'm constantly, you know, out and about just kind of trying to soak in as much as I can wherever I am.
It doesn't leave you much time for a relationship, Joe. You're a hot young guy. Come on now.
Thanks. Yeah, well, you know, we'll see. I mean, all in good time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it'll happen when it's meant to be happen. So, do you speak Italian?
No, but I eat the food.
All right, that's good. We love Italian food. What's your favorite thing to eat Italian?
Favorite thing Italian? I'm a sucker for lasagna, but I also like gnocchi. I love gnocchi. My parents used to make it when I was little. They used to roll it. You know, you roll it with your thumb, and they used to make gnocchi when I was a kid. So those sausage and peppers. My dad gets this these great sausages, and he'll make sausage and pepper sandwiches, and you know. So
oh, yes. Sausage favorite. And peppers is definitely a classic. We made that the other night. Awesome. Wow. You know, I feel like we're getting to know so much about you. Well, this is probably more than you thought you were going to tell me, huh?
I mean, you know, I figured we had an hour, so we were going to get into something.
Yeah, well, we will. And I have a tendency to do that with people. But what else is going on with you career-wise?
Career-wise, well, you know, we have another week left of this show, Unusual Acts of Devotion. June 28th is closing night. And then there are three shows that I, you know, have recurring characters on. You know, I recur on One Tree Hill. I also play Brad on How I Met Your Mother. And we've been trying for the past 2 years straight to try to get Brad back on, but I've always been working on other stuff and traveling, so I haven't been able to film those episodes, but I think those will be coming up at some point. I'll be back on How I Met Your Mother, and then there's a show called Till Death on Fox with Brad Garrett and Jolie Fisher, and I play a character named Stu on that show, and I have another episode that we shot that hasn't even been aired yet that'll be coming out at some point. So so there's those three shows, and you know, and then we'll, you know, I'm gonna finish up this play, and then we'll see what comes up next.
Well, that's good. So, what would you've traveled so much? What would be your ideal vacation spot?
Somewhere tropical. I love sun. So, if I'm gonna vacation, I want some sun. So, maybe the Bahamas. That'd be cool. I love Australia. Australia is one of my favorite places on the planet.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, love Australia. So maybe going back to Australia. I love the people there. It's just great.
Yeah. Well, I can Bahamas I've been. Australia, no. I can say Bahamas are wonderful.
Yeah, and then but Italy. I'd love to head over to Italy. I mean, I think that's kind of like in my mind. That's the next place I want to hit. So.
Oh yeah. Well, you are part Sicilian, no? So you would you retrace your roots that over there?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'd love to. My family comes from Messina, Sicily, so I'd love to go check it out.
Oh, that would be interesting. I would love to do something like that one day. But we're not allowed in that country anymore, so I can't.
No? Why? What happened?
We come from Czechoslovakia.
Okay.
And my father's uncle was a priest in old Czechoslovakia, and he helped move out the immigrants from the communist Czech. So there's like a ban on our family that we are not allowed in that country anymore.
Wow. Okay.
Because of the things that he did. And there's like a whole big book about it that I still basically don't understand half the time. But he ended up making his way to Yonkers, New York, and started a church. He was a blind priest, started a church and a school, and there goes the story of the Kabasheks that aren't allowed in Czechoslovakia anymore.
Wow.
Yeah, so we would never be allowed to do that, but it would be interesting.
Yeah.
It would be interesting. I don't know if I'd want to experience it, but it would be interesting. But so tell me what, Mr. You're such into music. What's the top five on your iPod?
Ooh, like all time or like right now?
Right now. What's on your iPod right now, top five?
Right now, I love this band. There's an L.A. band called the Silver Sun Pickups. I love that band. So I've been listening to their album's been in my CD changer for the past, couple months. Love that band. What else? I've been listening to some of the new Eminem album.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I've been checking that out. And, I mean, that guy's a genius, but you know, you can't listen to his stuff all day. It kind of starts affecting your mood. But
yeah, it does.
Eminem's
makes you a little angry.
Yeah, a little bit. Who else do I have in there? Massive Attack. They're kind of a staple for me.
Mm-hmm.
I love Massive Attack, this British band. I'm always listening to them. And I just made a new mix CD. So I'm kind of, every once in a while, I make mixes of kind of everything I'm listening to at the time. And so there's a little bit of Kings of Leon on there. There's a little Silver uh-huh. Sun. There's a little Airborne Toxic Event, which is another L.A. band.
Mm-hmm.
Song by Placebo. Another song by The Streets, this British
mm-hmm.
hip-hop group. A little bit of everything. A little eclectic.
Okay. On One Tree Hill, get back to that for a second. Was there anybody in particular that you would classify as the prankster on the set? Was there any kind of like horseplay, funny things that would make a blooper reel that somebody did on purpose?
You know, honestly, it's probably me. probably me. You know, there was a take where there was the first episode that Owen last season where Owen has to come back and apologize to Brooke for not wanting to have a baby with her.
Right.
And of course, you know, the real reason why Brooke and Owen didn't have the baby together was that I had to go off and shoot a movie. I went off and shot the Behind Enemy Lines Columbia movie. And so they wrote my character out as having trouble with babies. So when I came back and we actually shot that scene, the first take that we did where, you know, I apologized to her. I think the line was something like, you know, I'm not going anywhere, or, you know, I'll never leave you again or something. Instead of saying that line, I, you know, opened the door and said, you know, I said, I'll never go to Puerto Rico again, or, you know, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So probably me.
Okay. Mr. Prankster, we'll have to give you a nickname. Let me go back to the telephones. We have, where's my switchboard? Come back. Okay, we have area code 773. You're on the phone with Joe.
Hi, Joanne. Thank you.
Hi, Rita. You're welcome. Say hi to my guest, Joe. From
hi,
One Tree Hill.
Hi.
Hi. You know, Brooke just, I don't want to use the word broke up. She just left her mom and gave her clothes over bros. So I can see where some of this can go. I mean, could leave their life more open.
Right.
And especially help with, there's a bond. I know this is an earlier show, an earlier rerun that I watched, but I could see you getting in with, helping her with Sam, you know, and her and getting into some of this a little bit more. Of course, I'd be terrified to do with One Tree Hill what I know I'm allowed to do with the soaps.
Yeah,
what are you talking about, Rita?
Well, a long years ago, decades ago, I wrote and I made
Rita, are you still there? I think we lost Rita.
Okay.
All right, yeah, I think we lost Rita. Okay, well, you know what? That's all right. I'm not even sure what Rita was saying, Joe. Where's Joe? I lost Joe. Hello? Are you kidding me? I lost Joe, people. What the hell is that all about? Ho, hum, ho, hum. Let's see. Hopefully he'll call me back in. I can't believe this. There he is, my Joe. I lost you, too. I was like, what is going on? I lost Rita. I lost Joe. What's the deal here? Oh, this stupid switchboard. That's the joy of live internet radio, Joe. I'm sorry.
It's exciting.
it's amazing. It's amazing. You gotta, you'd be surprised. You'd be surprised. So you and Seamus Dever went to school together. What school did you go to?
I went to Carnegie Mellon University.
Oh, with him. Okay.
He was in the graduate program, and I was undergrad, but we were there at the same time. Yeah, we were there at the same time.
Ah, okay. Yeah, he's doing wonderful things on Castle. Okay.
Yeah.
I have another call here. This is Linda. Linda, say hi to Joe.
Hey, Joe. How are you?
Great. How you doing, Linda?
Good, good. So I just wanted to – oh, hi. Hi, Joanne. How are you?
Hi, good. How are you?
I'm pretty good. I don't know what's wrong with me. I think I'm a little tongue-tied all of a sudden.
Well, I'm sure it's the heat that's emanating through the telephone from my guest because he is also hot. Yeah, noticed.
Well, it's so funny because I was just I was looking at some photos of Joe, and you know, he looks so different versus the clean cut shave look or the longer hair. I mean, he looks different in quite a few of these pictures, so that's good. Joe, I just wanted to ask you your experience versus doing film and versus, you know, doing like TV. Which do you prefer and why?
Film versus TV?
Uh-huh.
Well, I think, you know, the main difference is the amount of time that you have to prepare. You know, in TV, you've got to show up. You know, pretty much they call you and say, okay, we want you to audition for this tomorrow, or we want you to be here tomorrow and you're going to be a cop, or, you know, next week you're going to be a bartender, or next week you're going to be this. So there's not a lot of time to really dig. And on a film, like, you know, I shot this Navy SEAL movie last year, and I had a few months to prepare. So I actually got to go out and train with a Navy SEAL and, you know, work out with a trainer.
Awesome.
And, you know, shoot the weapons that we would use and use all of the equipment that I was going to use. So by the time that I got down there, I was, you know, I had, you know, I had all of that behind me, where, you know, on a TV show, I think it's a lot more about what your essence is and kind of what you can walk into the room as. So, you know, film is a lot more fun because you do get to prepare for that. But TV is a lot of fun because you get to develop this character over time. Whereas, you know, in a film, you tell a whole story in 2 hours. You know, on TV, you can tell that story over, you know, 9 seasons. So, you know, they're good. They're both pluses and minuses to both. You know, the other thing about TV too is that it's steady work, which, you know, as an actor is like having that kind of security. You can't buy that with, you know, you couldn't buy that with money.
No, that's true. And at least you get to go home at the end of the day and sleep in your own bed versus being on a movie set. You could be gone for long periods at a time.
Yes. And, you know, and on a movie set, they have a tendency to really work you like a dog. You know, the hours are a lot crazier on a movie set. It's more, you know, but, you know, in TV, they generally, especially being on an ensemble, say like a One Tree Hill is great because it's an ensemble, so you're never going to shoot every day because they have to shoot all of these other scenes with all these other characters. So you have a lot of downtime. The other thing is that, you know, when you're shooting a movie or, you know, TV show like One Tree with girls with hair, they take about 2 hours to do the girls' hair in the morning, which means that you're never going to have to be to work at the crack of dawn because the girls have to get in to get their hair done. So you get to sleep in a little more, and you don't have to be there every day. So, you know, TV is a lot more, I think, you know, when you're working on an ensemble show, a lot more relaxed and where a movie
gives you,
is.
Yeah, and it gives you the flexibility to, like you said, maybe, you know, go work out or go take care of what you need to do and versus being gone for long periods at a time.
Yeah, you can have more of a life. But, you know, but the cool thing about film is that, you know, you shoot this thing for a couple of months, you're done. You know, you're back home, and then boom, you can go to somewhere else. So you can kind of see the world and travel the world with film in a way that you don't necessarily with TV. TV stays in one place. So, you know, I don't know. It just depends on where I'm at. I mean, I like a little bit of everything, but it'll be interesting to see, you know, what happens when I do find that thing that settles me down somewhere. So I've been kind of flying around working, you know, on this variety of stuff. But at some point,
so
I know it's going to hanker me down.
Yeah. So what's going on with a possible role for you on Smallville?
That part, I'm not going to be on Smallville.
Oh, you're not?
I'm not going to be playing that part on Smallville. They wanted something a little different than me.
Well, what's wrong with them? Seriously, what's wrong with them? Come on. Okay, well, I'm kind of bummed about that.
I know, you're a big fan of that show. I know you were probably looking forward to that, right?
I know. Now I'm not I'm a little bit less of a fan now after hearing that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, do you have any favorite superheroes? Speaking of, keeping in the theme of Smallville.
I do. Someday I'd love to play Batman.
Oh.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
I think Bruce Wayne would be.
But
would be
you know, the whole Christian Bale, the whole voice, the scratchy voice, that really bothers me. What's up with his voice?
He smoked too many cigarettes.
I think what it is, I think you're trying to make a distinctly different vocal choice, you know, because, you know, for years, Batman and Bruce Wayne have always sounded the same, you know, which anyone who hangs out with Bruce Wayne you'd hear him talk and go, Bruce, you know, but I think that's what it is. And so I think it kind of, you know, people had mixed opinions about that, but I mean, I understand what they're going for and why he's changing his voice like that, but yeah, I mean.
Yeah, I mean, it just sounds like that's not it. I mean, it just sounds like the poor guy would need like a cough drop after a day on talking like that. I don't.
Yeah.
Batman's good, definitely.
Oh, I
all
can
right.
see
well,
that too.
You. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you definitely could definitely pull that off quite well. Well, thank you so much, Joe, for coming on, and thanks, Joanne. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome, my dear.
Okay, have a good night. Good talking to you, Joe.
Okay.
Take care.
Good talking to you.
Okay. You
bye. Will. So speaking of the Batman, out of all of these Batman movies that have been aired and filmed, who is your favorite out of them all that have been on there? I mean, you got Keaton, George Clooney, Val Kilmer. Who else? God.
Adam West.
Well,
forget
of course,
Adam
the
West.
Original. Can't forget him.
I mean, I'm a fan of Christian Bale and what they're doing with the franchise. I mean, the one thing I never, you know, that always kind of rang untrue for me about the Batman characters were that, you know, they always showed him as this kind of womanizing party guy. You know, he was always at his party getting drunk, and then all of a sudden his butler would walk in, Alfred would walk in and say, okay, you know, someone's robbing this bank, you've got to go, or someone's at the chemical plant. He's, you know, kind of puts down the cocktail and jumps in the car and goes and fights crime. And, you know, I mean, it didn't seem realistic to me. And what I appreciate about the new Batman movies is that they're looking at it from that realistic point of view. What would a human being psychologically and physically have to be, or where would he have to be able to do this in reality and be able to, you know, go out there in this suit and know you could take down some 300-pound maniac who just got out of prison.
Right.
You know, and so to show him training and the martial arts training and really show why he can go out there and kick ass, that's what I really like.
Right.
And I think that Christian Bale's done a great job. And if you look at, you know, what Christian Bale's doing at that part versus what, say, Robert Downey Jr. is doing as Tony Stark, I mean, they're both kind of the same character in that they are these rich men who are not superpowered, who kind of have all these gadgets.
Right.
You know, but Tony Stark is that fun playboy kind of guy, whereas Bruce Wayne is that dark, brooding, you know, really psycho kind of disturbed guy. And I like that. I like that kind of darker aspect that they've added to what Christian Bale's doing and kind of, you know, what they're doing with the James Bond franchise in the same way. You know, Daniel Craig looks like he could kick your ass.
Right.
You know, and that's, you know, what the guy would need to be, I think.
No, absolutely. in the movie business, people usually that get into acting, they usually have their favorite set, you know, sight set. Oh, you know, if I ever become this, I want to do a movie with so and so. Who is your acting partner dream? Who would you want to be with in a movie?
Well, you know, it's interesting. I grew up wanting to be Han Solo.
Ooh.
So, you know, being in something with Harrison, some kind of action movie with Harrison Ford, that would be a blast. This could come off as controversial, but I don't care. I love Mel Gibson, and I love Mel Gibson movies, and so I think he's amazing. I think Clint Eastwood is amazing. I love those old school tough guys.
Right. I don't think Mel Gibson's controversial at all. Look, whatever happened with him happened. I mean, and not for nothing, there's not probably one person in Hollywood that, you know, whether we know about it or not, went through their own little thing. I think Mel Gibson's a fabulous actor. I think his credits are well-deserved, and I love all his movies, and I would watch them repeatedly if there was nothing else on TV. I could just sit there and watch Lethal Weapon over and over and over again. You know what I mean?
I think Braveheart's one of the greatest movies ever made.
Mm-hmm.
I love Braveheart, you know, I love those old school tough guys, you know, I love that. I love the Steve McQueens and the Charles Bronsons and the Clint Eastwoods and all those guys of that era,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then all of the guys that came after them, you know, the Bruce Willises and the Harrison Fords and the Mel Gibsons. I want to think of myself as in that lineage, you know, as time goes on, I think that's kind of where I want to situate myself. But I mean, look at Mel Gibson. He did What Women Want. He did that comedy.
Oh, it was, you know, and it was great.
And he was great. Yeah. And,
absolutely.
You know, and then he did Hamlet. You know, and I kind of think of myself in that. You know, genre.
Well, yeah, because you do very diverse things. I mean, you don't just stick to one thing, and neither does he. So I can see that. I mean, in Harrison Ford, you know, he always comes off as the good guy, and for a long time he was cast as nothing but the good guy. But when he was in that movie with Michelle Pfeiffer, and he actually played the guy that what was the name of that movie? Oh my God, I'm drawing a blank. And I just watched it.
What Lies Beneath.
I couldn't believe that. That just shocked the daylights out of me. It was awesome, the twist in that. So he can definitely do both, play good, bad, you know, and I can see you doing that too. So I can definitely see you in that kind of thing.
I love Gary Oldman. He was one of the reasons why I became an actor. I think that guy is a rock star. So I'd love to kind of, you know, work with that guy at some point as well.
Right. Well, now, what about females? Who would be your ideal leading lady?
Oh, wow.
Downloaded question.
Now, geez, I've been like kind of mildly obsessed with Megan Fox lately. But I mean, that really, I don't know that that has anything to do with acting.
I don't know. She doesn't even think it has anything to do with acting, so I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, but you know, She kind of rings my bell. I mean, you know, I think Angelina Jolie is great, but I also think aside from her, there's an actress named Connie Nielsen.
Okay.
She was in Gladiator. She was in Devil's Advocate. I think she's fantastic. She's actually married to Lars Ulrich, or she's with the guy from, you know, the drummer from Metallica, which I think is kind of interesting, But anyway, so I think she's great. Who else?
Oh, yes, I know who you're talking about. Okay, I had to just pull her up just to get a visual. Yeah, she's gorgeous.
Yeah.
I really loved her in Gladiator.
Yeah, yeah. So I think kind of, you know, somewhere, Monica Bellucci. I mean, I don't know. This is kind of getting, this is like who I want to make out with pretty much. But I mean.
Who would have the best kissing scene, right? Okay.
Yeah.
Never mind their creative ability. Just damn it, who's hot?
Yeah.
That's what I want. Forget about the rest of it. It's okay.
Yeah, everything else would just fall into place.
That's all. You don't have to. You'll guide them. Don't worry, Joe. You're a classically trained actor. You can guide them as long as they know how to kiss. We're all right. Now
yeah, we're okay.
you know, and now we know your type. Okay. Well, okay, just to get off the female acting part, last question as far as relationships go, what would you look for in a romantic partner of your own behind the camera?
Well, you know, somebody who I like sweet girls. I do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I like a little bit of edge, but deep down inside, you know, I like nice people. I've spent time with people that were not nice, just were not nice people, and I wound up paying the price for it. So,
mm-hmm.
You know, someone with some edge, but a real sweetheart on the inside. You know, I always think of Gwen Stefani in that way, the way that she kind of had that, like, kind of like fun, faux, tough girl exterior, but she'd sing these songs about, you know, just being a girl and wanting girly stuff, you know, and I like girls. I tend to gravitate towards, you know, girls like that, you know, and but also, you know, somebody appreciative. I think every guy works his tail off to, you know, to provide and show a girl a good time. And, you know, and you run into, unfortunately, you know, sometimes you run into girls that really think, you know, have this entitlement thing and really feel like, you know, they really don't appreciate it. Yeah.
Right,
so somebody really deep down inside sweet who also, you know, appreciates me and then is also supportive of what I'm trying to do with my life, you know, and its career and really, you know, is passionate about or, you know, really, really likes, you know, watching me perform or likes watching me do what I do.
We have a comment in the chat room. They said someone that can pay for their dinner instead of the other way around.
Well, actually, you know, that's pretty fun. But I mean, I'm old fashioned, you know, so I mean, it's, you know, I would never, you know, I'll pick the girl up. I'll pick you up. I'll take you out to dinner. You know, I'll take care of all of that kind of stuff, you know.
Right.
I think, you know, a guy, that's how guys fall in love. We have to chase and we have to court and we have to, you know, we have to provide and do all of that kind of stuff. Otherwise, you know, we don't feel like guys. You know,
right.
Important.
Well,
so.
Joe, I'll tell you right now, you exceeded my expectations, and I am a bigger fan of you now than I was before I had you on this show. And I said it at the beginning of the show, we were definitely going to see a different side of Joe, and I think we did. And I couldn't be more appreciative of you coming on here and sharing time with us and some of your, you know, deep thoughts that you probably normally wouldn't.
Thanks a lot. Yeah, I mean, it's a lot of fun. I mean, it was really a blast.
Well, I appreciate it. Before I let you go, because we only have 1 minute left on the clock, would you do a promo for my show and just say, hi, this is Joe Manganiello on Star Dish Radio?
Of course, yeah.
And I'm recording now, so whenever you're ready, just go ahead and do it.
Hi, I'm Joe Manganiello, and you're listening to Star Dish Radio.
And you know what? You are just so beautiful. I can't even stand it. Keep in touch with Joe on Facebook, Twitter, and MySpace. And he definitely responds. He's a great guy with his fans. Go check out joemanganiello.com. And if you are in the California area, please go see the play, Unusual Acts of Devotion. You won't be disappointed. It's got rave reviews. They're posted up on Star Dish's page as well as Joe's Facebook page. So make sure you go check that out. Once again, Joe, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
Have a wonderful evening.
You too.
Hi, this is Barbara Allen Woods from One Tree Hill, and you're listening to Star Dish Radio.
Hey, everybody. This is Brandon Barash, and thank you for listening to Star Dish Radio.